is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
May is Oregon Wine Month, and we begin a series of Friday Wine in the Umpqua interviews to talk with folks in the local wine industry. And Scott Kelly here from Paul O'Brien Winery. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Kyle.
So what's your overall take on the Oregon wine industry, what it's been like the past year?
Well, just like everywhere else, it's been a pretty dynamic, crazy year. And I just want to say that every month is Oregon Wine Month, right? So we have been celebrating Oregon wine every month. And, you know, it's between the wildfires and COVID, it certainly has been an incredible, diverse and tumultuous year. But I think overall, the Oregon wine industry is doing great. If you look at numbers, I was actually taking a peek this morning. Oregon wine nationally is up about 25%, and taking market share away from actually other states like California and Washington. So Oregon across the country is becoming a well-known product and very highly regarded, because as those of you who know, and Kyle, you're one of those, you enjoy Oregon wine as much as we do. So we have a great product, a great name, and I think you know, as things open up and we're able to get visitors this summer, that's where really a lot of the smaller Oregon wineries are going to start to see some better success, because there's just so much pent-up demand.
Now, you mentioned a 25% increase. That's a huge number.
Yeah, it's a huge number. And really, that's retail. Most of the numbers, it's tough to measure. Obviously, restaurants were hit substantially hard. You know, if you consider last year, retail wine sales were up 26%, but restaurant wine sales were down 88%. It was a really, really tough year for restaurants. And depending on how your winery was positioned, whether you sell mostly in grocery stores across the U.S. or if you sell in restaurants, that really is a big determining factor on how you did. But nonetheless, even trends going into the pandemic were showing that Oregon was growing substantially. So we know Oregon wine is growing in the market, and people are searching us out more and more.
So obviously a lot of challenges during the year. What were some of the specific things you had to deal with at Paul O'Brien?
Yeah, you know, first off was safety and trying to make sure our employees and our staff was set up right. And so sourcing PPE from the very beginning, making sure we had the right masks and sanitation protocols in place so that everybody felt safe was super important to us. And then how do we operate going into harvest? We're bringing in a lot of seasonal employees. And so training them up and creating, you know, really our aspects were through mask wearing, but social distancing. And we're able to do that in the large warehouse and barrel rooms and outdoor areas that we had. So that was the big thing. The tasting room has been a real challenge, and you know, we've fought through it and worked tirelessly through, you know, both Dyson and I are part of the Oregon Wine Council, in really lobbying to work with OSHA and working with our legislators to create protocols that make sense, that have common sense. And I think we were able to do that effectively in creating a system that works in tasting rooms, where we can keep people separated, keep them safe, socially distanced, but still allow for the enjoyment of wine, much like we do on the restaurant side.
Now, with your tasting room size, you've got an advantage there. You've got a reasonable amount of space, especially for probably the number of folks that are coming through downtown at a given time. But for some of the other folks in the Valley, that's really been a challenge.
Yeah, that was a big challenge. You know, we have a tasting room that even at 25% capacity, we allow upwards of 25 people. Every group has to be socially distanced, which is fine. But on the smaller winery side, we actually worked with the Oregon legislator and OSHA to allow, actually it was through OLCC, to allow for expansion of facilities. Of course, outdoor areas were hugely popular if you could utilize those. But in Oregon in the wintertime, let's face it, it's pretty tough to go taste or even a restaurant to serve outside. You know, you saw a lot of tents pop up around. So we were working with OLCC through the Oregon Wine Council to allow them to expand out into, say, you could utilize part of your cellar and utilize other parts of your facility to serve and at least be able to serve your customers.
And probably due to your location, maybe trying to do wine tasting outside isn't always the best model either.
Yeah, we don't really have the outdoor area being downtown with the Urban Winery. That is the one disadvantage, but we are able to utilize the facility to do tastings, and luckily our tasting room is big enough that we've been able to accommodate everybody as long as the governor allows us to stay open. So
did you take a pretty big hit from the fact that you could sell but you couldn't taste periodically?
Yeah, definitely. I will say our club members were fantastic, and you know, one of the things that has come out of COVID, you and I were just talking about one of those changes in how you guys are doing business here, but COVID accelerated trends. And so what really we saw was, hey, we had to move to online business. And so a lot of emails, a lot of Facebook posts, and creating opportunities, free shipping. You know, how do you switch to an online market when wine has really always been one of those things that people don't really buy before they try? And so now we've found ways to touch our customers, Georgia, you know, Texas, all over the U.S., and get people wine. And frankly, the great thing is our members and customers really supported us and ordered a ton of wine online in 2020.
Now, are you seeing any shifts, aside from the pandemic issues, any shifts in what consumers like, what varietals?
You know, it is still a chocolate and vanilla world. It's Chardonnay and Cabernet dominate the world of domestic wine. We are seeing an increase in Pinot Noir. People are looking for a little bit lighter styles, especially as wine drinkers mature. They tend to like the elegance and complexity of Pinot Noir. And I think there's a lot more interest in creative wines, you know, things that were maybe wines that were aged in different barrels, or maybe wine aged in bourbon barrels, for instance. There's a lot of creative ideas out there, but at the end of the day, you know, the quality's got to be in the bottle. Otherwise, it's just a gimmick. So, you know, we're seeing people willing to try a lot of new varieties. At Paul O'Brien, we tend to educate a lot, so we love to introduce people, especially with our Italian varieties. We make a few different Rhone varieties in addition to the Tempranillo, Pinot Noir, and whites that we do.
And one of the things along the way in my own, you know, curve of learning of wine, which is still continuing, is blends. I mean, I think I went a long time, honestly, before I actually tried a blend, because I really didn't know, you know, what that would be.
Yeah, and red blends are huge right now in the market, super popular, and they come in many different forms. And, you know, we've become, in America, we're very varietal specific, but we have to remember in Europe, wines are called by the region. They're not necessarily called by the variety. So if you're drinking Chianti, you're probably drinking Sangiovese. If you're drinking a Bordeaux, you're drinking a Bordeaux blend. And so the French and the Italians have been blending for a long time and realizing that each one of the pieces comes together to create a better wine as a whole.
And even one of the other things that, and I think I really just picked this up a week or two ago when I stopped by your tasting room, was a particular wine tried in two different kinds of glasses. You know, both that looked like good quality glasses, but the taste difference, I was just stunned.
Yeah, again, we love to educate and share and allow people to explore. And one of those really fascinating things is with glassware. We serve in Riedel glassware, which was started by a man named George Riedel. And Dyson and I were lucky enough to be at Robert Mondavi when he was developing the different varietal glasses. And at the time, we even thought there was a little bit of insanity to this idea that, you know, wine could taste different in different glasses, but it really is true. When you talk about a Pinot Noir, it has a big, the glassware has a big bowl on it. And what that does is it really allows you to get the most out of the nose and the aromatics. A really expressive Cabernet would blow your nose off in a glass like that. So we have different glassware for different wines that really enhances the experience and really showcases the wine.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Scott Kelly with us. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside inside Douglas County, 1247 News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson on the way at 1. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer on Mondays inside Douglas County. May is designated Oregon Wine Month, so we're doing a Wine in the Umpqua interview series, talking to different local folks. Scott Kelly from Paul O'Brien with us this afternoon. Now, you were the first urban winery in the Roseburg area. What's different about being an urban winery?
Well, first and foremost, we don't obviously have a vineyard out our backyard, but we source from local vineyards in the area. And second, you know, we're sort of in the middle of it all. You know, we are a quarter mile off of I-5, so a lot of people can come in and enjoy and not have to travel out, especially in the wintertime. We tend to see more traffic than other wineries in the wintertime. So they, you know, if it's foggy or rainy, a lot of people don't want to have to take the long drive out. You can come downtown, have a glass of wine or buy a few bottles on your way home.
Well, and I know for people coming through the area, I mean, if they're getting off, and I think locally we don't think about this so much, but folks that are getting off I-5 to then head up to Crater Lake, you're the place they pass by.
Absolutely. That's why we chose the spot. We're really the gateway to the Umpqua. If you think about heading up to Diamond Lake or Crater Lake, and a lot of people use that route, and we get a lot of traffic off of I-5 just for that reason.
Now, your business plan has been sourcing from different places over the last number of years since you've been open. With climate conditions changing, have you seen a shift in where you're getting particular varietals from in terms of what you like about them?
Not so much. You know, wine is a long-term game, and so it takes 5-6 years to get a vineyard up and running and producing, and then hopefully we've got about 30 to 40 years of production out of that. I think when we look at short-term climate change, and certainly, you know, over the last 5 years it's been warm and we see these cycles, I think the way to look at it is over the long term, how are things affected? And so far, you know, I think we still see that the vineyard sites planted in the Umpqua, the Pinot Noirs are outstanding. They're incredible. And I think over the long term, we'll see Oregon Pinot Noir continue to be really the showcase for what we do.
So how much of the wine that you produce is sourced here? How much, I know you're pulling from Rogue Valley, sometimes other places too.
Yeah, we do source from the Willamette Valley as well as down in Rogue, but I would say about 80-85% of the fruit comes out of the Umpqua. I tell people I would love all the fruit that we make to come out of the Umpqua Valley, and I think eventually it will, as a lot of our pre-plant contracts with some of our best growers are taking root.
Now, you've got a new distribution situation that's fairly recent. Your partner, Dyson Damara, talked about that a few weeks back, but tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, really exciting opportunity, Kyle. We have launched a partnership with Empson USA, which is a national importer that's been doing business in the U.S. for 52 years. They have relationships in every state, and including Canada. And so our Oregon territory and Paul O'Brien wines are now going to be distributed nationally, and we are super excited about the opportunity to really get the name of Paul O'Brien and specifically the Umpqua Valley message out to the world. You know, these wines are spectacular. We have one of the finest wine growing regions in the world. We just need to get the word out and the message. And this is going to be a huge step forward in that approach.
So this includes the Paul O'Brien wines and the Oregon territory.
Exactly. Yeah, we're now distributing Paul O'Brien, and we'll start with our Umpqua Valley Pinot Noir, as well as the three Oregon territory wines, and then that'll broaden out. There's some new excitement around the Tempranillo as well as some of the white wines we make.
So any special projects wine-wise that you're working on right now?
Oh, there's always something in the incubator, but right now we're really, you know, focused on our core business and, you know, the few special varieties that we make. We just launched a Merlot, our Umpqua Valley Merlot, which is a really exciting wine. I think it's one of the really amazing varieties in the diverse selection of wines that we can do incredibly well here in the Umpqua. And we launched our Umpqua Valley Merlot this month, and so we're really excited about that wine.
And you've got a kind of a historic building with a unique past, and I know you guys have continued to kind of explore around in there.
Yeah, no, we're kind of on full. As you've seen, we've got some tanks outside now, and the barrel rooms have definitely filled up. So it's still, you know, our classic old Chevy dealership that's been turned into a winery. So it's an exciting opportunity to come in, see a bit of history, and enjoy some wine, and hear some stories about about everything from the history of the Chevy dealership to the blast and downtown Roseburg. So.
And I know when I was driving past a couple of days ago, there were a whole lot of barrels out there.
Yeah, no, we're cleaning up some of the barrels from our latest pump outs and blends that we're doing. This is bottling season, so harvest is in the fall. This time of season starting in like January, we will start doing some blending and bottling. And so those are some of the barrels that were pumped out for our Chardonnay blend.
So when you're doing bottling, explain a little bit about the process.
Yeah, so we don't own a bottling line because we only bottle twice a year. So we're bottling in usually January and August for about a week at a time. And so we bring in a mobile bottling company, and they have a 52-foot truck full of all the equipment needed to put the wine in the bottle safely with no oxygen. They have the labeling equipment. And really, they're the experts. That's the great thing. They do this every day. We're not experts at the bottling side of it. So we deliver the wine bottle ready and supply some labor to help put the cases on the line and off it goes. So
wow, it would seem like if you're only doing that twice a year, I mean, are those like nerve-wracking days?
Oh, they're the worst days of the year, frankly, because this is your last chance to get it right. So everything has to be perfect. And even back in January, we pulled a wine off the line and decided not to bottle it just because it wasn't perfect. So our goal and my goal as the winemaker is really to put the very best product in the bottle at all times. And we ensure through a lot of diligent quality control and frankly, the fun part, which is all the tasting.
So just doing it twice a year also has got to have some sort of business impacts in terms of when you've got supply ready to go out, all that kind of thing.
Well, it's all about planning because not only does the wine need to age in barrel, traditionally all of our wines are barrel aged in French oak, but we do a little bit of bottle age as well. And so the timing and the structure and the planning is really the hard part. How do you know how much you're going to be selling next year? And certainly through, you know, blips in the road, you get it right sometimes and not always, but we're always trying to make the best wines possible first and foremost, and then hit the number for how many cases we think we're going to sell.
Wow. There's just so many intriguing aspects, and even and I know almost nothing about this, but the barrels, do you do French oak? Do you do this? Right. And I hear all of the folks in the area, everybody's got a little bit different take on it.
Well, and that's what makes us all taste, all the different wines taste differently. And, the wine business is really fascinating in that we're not making widgets. We're not producing the same thing every day. And we can't say, well, tomorrow we just need to produce, another case of wine. We have to wait for the next vintage. And then every input that you have on that from the vineyard all the way through to barrel selection makes a huge difference in what sort of quality we're producing.
What's the favorite thing of what you do for you?
Well, it would have to be Pinot Noir. I'm an addict with Pinot Noir. It's the aha moment, as they say, that really struck me years ago when I tasted a world-class wine from Burgundy, France that just, set my mind ablaze of ideas on how I could reproduce something of that great a quality. And it's sort of the eternal mission to produce a wine that, that lives on in somebody's mind like that. And so I came to Oregon to produce incredible Pinot Noir, and was lucky enough to have a friend and partner in Dyson who convinced me to pause and check out what the Umpqua Valley can do, and I'm really happy he did, because our such powerful nature here and incredible diversity gives us opportunities like no other.
So on the day-to-day basis, among all the different kinds of things, because it seems like every day is just a little bit different for what your industry does, are there particular elements that are the most, fun days or most interesting?
Well, certainly the tasting days, when we're tasting, we taste through every one of our wines, every in barrel, I'm talking, every once a month. And so we get to look through all of the inventory and see how they're progressing, how they're maturing, make decisions on that. I love blending sessions where we're deciding which lots go together to make certain products that we produce. But certainly during harvest, it's the best. My philosophy is wines are made in the first 10 days of their life. And so we've got one chance to get it right. Really, you know, 90% of the quality of a wine comes out of the vineyard, but it's our job not to screw it up and to really shape that wine into something beautiful. And so in those first 10 days when we harvest the grapes, bring them into the tank and start fermenting, it's a really special time to produce an incredible wine.
So what's your hopes for the next year for Paul O'Brien?
Well, more than anything, I'm looking forward to the world opening up. I'm looking forward to Half Shell, and I hope we have the opportunity to gather and continue to share all of the great things, not only that we have wine-wise, but restaurants and food, and try to get back to a little bit more gathering and communal experience. And so I'm looking forward to being able to do wine club events and really share what we're doing down at Paul O'Brien Winery.
Scott Kelly from Paul O'Brien, Wine in the Umpqua program on Oregon Wine Month. Scott, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks, Kyle.
1258, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.